Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, it's still morning. Move this forward a bit. I don't like being so far away. Okay, well, you know what? This year, I've heard it's mainly three different words that have really kind of resonated this year. And the first word, we heard it right at the beginning of January, is alignment. And I think that this year has been a great year for alignment. And when I think of it, anyone seen Finding Nemo? Yeah, I love it. I love it towards... He's got this long journey to do, and it's daunting because it's such a long way. And he comes across this group of turtles, and he's like, dude, you need to jump on this with us, because there was a slipstream. There was a stream, and the thing is, you could see this slipstream. You could swim alongside it and not get involved with it. Or you could go a little bit further, jump into that stream, and get there quicker. And you see, I think God does an amazing thing, because I think what we do as people, what I know I've done in the past, is I've started something new, I've had an idea and gone, God, will you please bless it? It's for your kingdom, will you please bless it? When really what I should have been doing is, God, what are you blessing? I'm going to get involved with that. Where are you moving right now? Where are you moving on the earth? Because that is what I want to get involved in. Rather than 50,000 ideas, where's your kingdom advancing? And that's the slipstream I want to get into, because that's when you're going to see results quicker. You'll see his kingdom come faster, because you know what? If those turtles, you could have swam alongside that slipstream all the way to Sydney Harbour, but it would have took an age. Or you can align what God's doing on the earth and get there faster. The second thing, the word that's come around a lot this year, is consummation. About preparing ourselves to be in the presence of a king. See, we heard Andrew Murray last week, he brought the story of Esther. And I love that there's a story called One Night with the King. See, she prepared herself for his presence. And I believe God this year has been shaping us all again into this. And again, a little kind of... I work with a lot of pictures. Has anyone seen a TV show on BBC One called, it's changed now, but it used to be called The Wall. And it was when you had to, the wall would appear at one end and you'd have to go like, you'd have to do a shape, because there was a shape in this wall. And the only way you were getting through that wall was if you acquired that position. See, the problem is, if you had something hanging on the side that wasn't meant to be there, you weren't getting through that wall. And I believe God is calling the church and calling us as people to walk through to things. And there's things that are just attached to us that need to go. There's things that he wants us to just get rid of so that we can go into the next phase of what he has for us. Now, what that takes is maturity. Because what the church has done for a long time is, oh, well, someone else can deal with that. My leadership can deal with that. It's not nothing to do with me. I think there's a time coming when we all have to take personal responsibility and be mature and deal with our stuff so that God can take us to the next place. And then the next word is the word. We've heard a lot recently about the word and how we should kind of just throw ourselves into it. And when I was younger, I'm not that old, I promise. I'm only 40 next year. When I was younger, there was literally one way of taking in the word, and that was reading it. That was just sitting there, day in, day out, reading. Now, one thing about me is I don't do too well with the reading. I just struggle. But you know, in this day and age, there's no excuses for not consuming the word. Because there's podcasts, there's Bibles, audio Bibles. There's everything we can do. So if people say, oh, I just can't consume the word, I think that's an excuse. And I think, again, we need to be mature about it. And we need to kind of really take in what God is saying for us. And you see, I think if you put all these together, I think it leads into one thing. And this is where I want to sit on today. And I think God wants us. He wants communion with us. It's about connection. It's about oneness. You see, I did communion the other week, and God, I mean, when I bring a word, God usually starts about 3 or 4 weeks previous, and he gets me to live it out for at first, and then I end up getting to it. So the other week, I shared the verses from, I believe it's John, I did write this down, where it talks about Jesus praying for his disciples. He's praying for his disciples, and he went in to pray for all his believers. Now, I love this because we get to see a little bit of intimacy. We get to see a son having a conversation with his dad. You see, it was like they weren't there. You see, but I love when certain people pray, oh, me hairs on my arms stick up. It's like when you hear Abby go for it, wowzers. She goes and I'm like, yes, amen, go for it, sister. Because you get behind it. I can imagine the same listening to Jesus talk to his dad. And he says in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning his disciples. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all men may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in the world that they may believe that you are the one who sent me. You see, the whole aim of the Father is oneness with his children. He wants to get you closer and closer. But the thing is, if the Father's plan is connection, we know that the enemy's plan is disconnection. It was his plan right from the beginning. He used different tools to get there, but his whole plan was to separate mankind from their Father. And we see that when he approached Eve and he said, did God really say? He deceived her. So the first thing he did was he separate the children from their Father. The second thing he did was he separated mankind. So he, first of all, he went for God. Did God really say? And he brought a separation between, like I say, Adam and Eve and God. But then he went a step further, because when Adam was asked, what did you do? He went, it weren't me. It wasn't me. It was her. And I can imagine Adam just went like that. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was her. So instantly, a separation became between mankind. And one of the main things that is used to separate us is right and wrong. You see, it was a tree that mankind ate of and continues to eat of now. We make it about right and wrong when it's not about that, it's about life and death. See, God gave us many choices. Many choices. I picture it like this. I can imagine God in the garden going, son, daughter, do these trees. I want you to eat, 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 eat. Don't touch that one. Eat, 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 eat. I think it was a freedom thing. It was a freedom thing. It wasn't about what you couldn't do. It's about what you could do. But what we do as mankind, we make it about what's right and what's wrong. What you just did to me was wrong. What they did to Jesus was wrong. He did nothing wrong. He walked the earth blameless. And yet they took him and crucified him. In the eyes of the world, that was wrong. But in the eyes of the kingdom, it was life. Was life. If it wasn't for that, there'd be no hope for any of us. You see, what God wants us to do is keep our love on. I love Danny Silk, because what he's all about connection. He's all about bringing people together. Well, they did something wrong to me. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Don't put the responsibility on them all the time. The responsibility falls on us to keep our connection streams open. And then I started looking at four different things that God did. So I've got four that God did that helped put us in a great place for connection. And it starts in Genesis. And the first thing that the Father did was impartation for relationship. He formed mankind out of the earth, put him there, and imparted himself into him. He breathed the breath of life into his children. You see, everyone knows the Old Testament word for father, which is Abba. Does anyone know the New Testament name for father? I had to check Google. Pateras. And one of the meanings in that is one that imparts. You see, me as a father, what I want to do, I don't just want to give my kids stuff. One of the things that I really like to hear is, that's my girl. You know what? She's just like a dad. I see a dad in her. And the world should be able to see our dad in us. Because you're carrying the very nature of who he is. We're not just carrying the things of God, we carry God. We are God carriers. One of the other things, that was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it shows you that he breathed into mankind. The second one is God set boundaries and consequences. And that's in Genesis 2:15. And that's where he says, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but just don't eat of that one, because if you do, you will surely die. So he's actually set out the boundary there and then the consequence. One of the things as a father that I consistently kind of battle with is setting boundary lines for children, and then if they overstep them, how do I deal with it? See, this is where I think the real maturity comes in, because I was talking with Paul this week, and one of the things we were talking about is the difference between punishment and discipline. You see, someone can say something to me and have the best intentions, but it's how I receive it. It's how I receive what's been said. Now, I can either be a son about it, know that I'm accepted in God, know that there is just nothing that removes me from his hand, and what he's doing, he's there for my sake. He's disciplining me for me to grow. You see, discipline, when I'm doing true discipline, sometimes it hurts me than it hurts my kids. Because I don't want to see them go through a consequence, but I know for their growth, for them to grow, there has to be a discipline. You see, punishment is completely different. If someone says something to me and I go, oh, do you know what? They're punishing me. They're punishing me. That tells you a lot of how you see the Father. Because the way you see him, if you believe that, you believe punishment comes from a place of, you have put me out, so you will pay for it. That's what punishment is. And I as a dad have done that. You're watching someone on the telly, one of the kids does something. It's not naughty, it's not wrong. But then all of a sudden, the rage, the anger, something just rises up. You know what? Because you've just put me out. And then the one of the things that parents do a lot is go and sit on that step and think about what you've done. When that's a punishment for your benefit, because you want them out of the way. You want them out of the way so you can carry on doing what you did, what you were doing in the first place. Let me tell you something. Father God is not like that. He does not punish you for the sake of punishing you. He does not put you down for his benefit. He disciplines you for your benefit. Discipline brings you to a place of growth. You see, one thing that God's also done with me a lot is he'll bring a lesson to me, and I have a choice on whether I want to learn that lesson now or in 10 years' time. But the reality of it is that if I keep being disobedient to the lesson that's in front of me, the lesson I learn in 10 years' time is going to be a whole lot harder than the lesson I could have learned 10 years previous. You see, one thing we can take is money. Let's just say I'm in debt for one bill. I'm in debt for one bill. And somebody comes and fixes my problem. Someone just comes and says, I'll pay your bill. And they fix that. But I haven't learned a lesson. So I carry on getting into more debt, into more debt, into more debt. And then in 20 years' time, I have to go bankrupt. Because there's lessons I didn't learn. There's many things in life I haven't learned. There's mistakes I've made that I wish I would have learned earlier. Because it would have stopped a whole lot of pain. And my cry for the body of Christ is that they don't have to go through the pain. Is that we can learn quicker. We can learn earlier. The third thing that the Father did right at the beginning was he desired communion with his creation. He desired a relationship. He desired it. You need to know you are desired by God this morning. He wants to know you. He wants to know you intimately. He wants to know you to a place of vulnerability. You know, going through the story of the garden, I love the fact that they were naked and just didn't care. There was a vulnerability to one another and a vulnerability to God. But the second that right and wrong came into the equation, what happened was mankind just went, nope. And we stopped becoming vulnerable. You see, God knows everything. He knows everything. And yet he still chooses us. There's nothing to be ashamed of. He desires communion. He desires to be with us and walk with us. And another thing that Jesus did, there's a word that was used over conference, and I loved it. Because I couldn't think of a single word to do this. It was almost a sentence. But the word solutionary. I love it. You see, God himself was the first solutionary. See, before you fell, he had a way back. You see, it says that Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. He had a way back before we fell. That's amazing. It's amazing. You see, again, he's all about connection. When I look at when Jesus went to the cross and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's there and he's there, Father, do you know what? I'm paraphrasing because this is my version. He said, Father, you know what? If you could take this off me, that'd be great. But I'm not submitting to what I want. I'm going to submit to what you want. Now, one of the things I believe he was really asking the Father there, he knew the pain, he knew the crucifixion was coming, but the one thing that he didn't want to happen was a separation with his Father. He knew he never knew separation. He never knew what it was. He was always one with his dad. But he knew to make a way. To make a way, a separation had to come. You see, the main thing that God wants us to do is to protect our relationship with him and protect our relationship with our brothers and sisters. The scriptures are extremely clear that we have problems with our brothers and sisters, that we're to go to them and work it out. And there's lessons I've learnt this year. One thing that I've always struggled with is kind of conflicts and confrontation. because I get all nervous, because one of the things that I've always wanted is for people to like me. I wanted people to just like me. So I will not rock the boat in any way, shape, size, or form. Because if I do, there's a chance that you're not going to like me anymore. I've learned different this year. You see, all this has brought me to a place of complete acceptance in my Father. See, we can choose to be orphans or sons. Now, an orphan will always have a victim mentality. They will always be, why wasn't it me? So when you're sat in a service and someone else gets picked for the prophecy, why not me? Why not me? When I'm now learning to sit there and go, go on, go on. Get that word, get the word. Do you know what, Father, just bless them, bless them, bless them. You see, sonship is about getting our eyes off ourselves and onto our Father. An orphan will always look at what they can get and what they can grasp. And they will always fondle around and do it by works. Again, being super vulnerable here. When I was younger, I would do everything to make someone like me. I remember I was in design once and I was making this pencil case, and I would go to the teacher every single second of that day to like, is that all right? Yes, Brett, it's fine. And I'd go away and I'd change the smallest, minutest little thing and go back and say, is that okay? How many of us are constantly looking for approval, constantly saying, is this okay, God? Is this okay, God? Is this okay, God? When what I've learned is the roughest picture that I've ever drawn is in prize of place on his fridge. Because I'm his kid. You see, you'll be amazed what goes on people's fridges and houses. You'll walk in and you'll think, did Picasso draw that, or a three-year-old? But it doesn't matter, because the parent goes, that's my child, I'm happy with that. Doesn't have to be a Van Gogh, doesn't have to be something amazing. It came from their heart and it's beautiful. And we need to learn to stop striving. We need to learn to just know that we are loved beyond anything, because he loves us first. We don't have to gain the approval. God is calling us all to deeper relationships. And as I started saying, this year I've really kind of learned to, when I talk to people about conflict now, it's not, I don't go in with this attitude. You did me wrong. You did me wrong. And that's out of order. The way is, I want to understand you better. Teach me your heart. Teach me who you are. The closer I get to understanding you and know your vulnerabilities and know the pains in your life, I just want to help you. I just want connection. I just want connection. And the amazing thing is that all these things that I said that the Father does, we can do to embrace and enhance our relationships. You see, you only get the best out of a relationship when you impart yourself into it. If you go into a relationship half-hearted, now granted, it leaves you more vulnerable. Great. Great. Because that's where you get the best bits. Vulnerability. Boundaries and consequences. You say, well, Brett, does that mean everybody walks all over you? No, absolutely not. You see, I set good boundaries. I set boundaries within my friends, within my circle of influence. As a father, I set boundaries for my children. And you know what? They change. As I get deeper into relationships, those boundaries change. They don't just stay the same. I absolutely desire communion. I desire it. We desire it. In our very nature, we desire communion. We desire being around people. You see, Seal sang about it years ago, and he was right when he said, loneliness is the killer. And we're coming into a time of year when that can be all too prevalent. So we need to push into our friendships, push into our people that, even when, I love it when people go, no, I'm all right. That's polite. That's people being polite. Has anyone seen on this year on the on Facebook, there's a thing going around, Dan Walker on the BBC. He took a Christmas tree to an old, no one saw it? Oh, it's beautiful. It's brilliant. Dan Walker's a Christian, by the way. And it was unbelievable. So this guy said, I'm okay. I don't want anything. Don't want a tree. Don't want this. And a group of people just said, tough. And they took him a tree, and they took him presents, and they took him a meal. And that guy cried live on TV. He cried his eyes out. Why? Because he knew people cared. He knew there was a communion. And finally, be a solutionary. As Drew said, you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution. Let that sink in. Took me years to figure that one out. You're not the problem. You're part of the solution. See, in God's hands, wow. So as we move forward, because as a church, we're going to have to be tight. We're going to have to be one. Pushing towards that God has set among us. So we need to learn to pour ourselves into each other, to set good, healthy boundaries with people, to desire community with one another. And when something goes wrong in a relationship, you better be sure I'm coming to make it right. I am not going to sit on my hands any longer and let the words of doubt, the words of things get in. How many times I've done this? A lot. When with me and Ruth, something will happen, and I'll walk out the door and I'll go, oh, didn't like that. And then before I get home, I've had the argument with her in my head. Well, she said this, and I said that, right? And then before I come in the door, what was a tiny little thing in the morning, I boot the door open, you! I've been waiting for you all day, now you're going to get a piece of me. And it causes issues. Because the reality was, if I had just been the solutionary, rather than looking at the right and wrong of it and just thought about the life of it, what brings life in this situation? What brings life? Because it's ours to give. He says, life is ours, death is ours, today is ours, tomorrow is ours. Shall we stand? Now, as we've been talking about connections this morning, just place your hand on the person next to you. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for stronger bonds. We're going to pray for a connection. Father, right now, we thank you for your body. We thank you for your body, Father. I thank you for the diversity that is in this room. But I thank you, Lord, that we can be called one. I thank you, Lord, that we can be called one. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you just build in us today and as the rest of this week goes on, you just build in a stronger connection between our hearts and your hearts, Father, and between our and each of us' hearts here, Lord. That you just build a community. Father, Lord, but we, as you build your church, that we will be without walls, Father. A church without walls, Lord, that can expand with your kingdom. Lord, that will be surrounded by a wall of fire. So, Father, right now, Lord, we're just going to take a moment just to bless one another. So just bless the person next to you. Let's just pray for one another. Yes, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the connections that you put us in. We thank you for the families you surrounded us with. And just pray, Lord, that you just bless those connections. In Jesus' name, amen.